be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, everybody. And welcome to our service this morning of morning prayer on this, the 15th Sunday after Trinity. And our theme is Jesus as King. So we begin with a call to worship. The Lord our God is great and to be highly praised. We come to worship. The Lord our God is great beyond our understanding.
We come to worship.
The Lord our God is loving and full of mercy.
We come to worship.
Lord God, we all belong to your kingdom, and we bring our different lives and experiences to worship you today, the true and living God.
Amen.
And you may be seated as we hum together our opening hymn, Your Kingdom Come, O God. Listen to our first reading.
The first reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 30, a letter of Paul to the Philippians. For to me, living in Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that, whether I come and see you or am in absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I shall have. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Jesus says to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, and each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to those last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first will be last." Here with the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer.
Amen.
So we are in the Gospel of Matthew, and to look at the parable in context, Matthew introduces Jesus to us as King, and it's very much his theme throughout the whole Gospel. And at this point of the Gospel, Matthew introduces us to the demands that a king puts on us. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, the allegory by C.S. Lewis. And the author has two girls, Susan and Lucy, getting ready to meet Aslan, the lion, who represents Christ. Two talking animals, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, prepare the children for the encounter. "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie," said Mrs. Beaver. "And make no mistake, if there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly." "Then, isn't he safe?" said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." And kings are not safe. They make demands of their people. We cannot follow the King of Kings without paying a price. After all, he went to the cross for us. Have we a right to escape suffering and sacrifice? And in this section of the Gospel, our Lord is explaining the rightful demands that he makes on those who want to follow him. Firstly, we must love him supremely. The story or the parable just before this one was about the rich young man. And one of the demands that Jesus was trying to also show him was about where his heart was at. Jesus knew the young man was covetous and he loved material wealth. And when Jesus asked him to sell his belongings, Jesus was forcing him to examine his own heart and to decide on his priorities. And that young man, with all his good qualities, still did not truly love God with all his heart. Possessions were still his God, and he was unable to obey the command. And the disciples were amazed at what Jesus said about riches. If a rich man cannot be saved, what hope is there for the rest of us? Was what the disciples were saying and thinking. Of course, Jesus did not say that possessing wealth kept a man from the kingdom. In his life and in his teaching, Jesus tried to show people that the inner blessings are far more important than the material gains. God sees the heart, and God wants to build our character. Peter was very quick to see the contrast between the wealthy ruler and us poor disciples. "We left all to follow you. What then will there be for us?" he says. And Jesus gave them the marvelous promise of rewards in this life and the next. In other words, they're not making sacrifices, they're actually making investments. So we must love him supremely, and we must obey him unreservedly. You see, Jesus detected in Peter's question the possibility of the wrong motive for service. And that was why he added the warning that some who are first in their own eyes would be last in judgment, and some who were last would be first. Jesus amplified this truth in his parable of the workers in the vineyards. The parable is not about salvation. The denarius was a day's wages, and does not represent salvation because nobody works for salvation. We are saved by faith unto good works. Nor is the parable talking about rewards, because we're not all going to receive the same reward. As St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. So the parable is emphasising a right attitude in service. And note back the two kinds of workers that were hired that day. Those who wanted a contract and agreed to work for a denarius, and those who had no contract and agreed to take whatever the owner thought was right. The first labourers that he hired insisted that they knew what they would be paid at the end of the day. And this explains why the owner paid the workers as he did. He wanted those who were hired first to see how much he paid the workers who were hired much later. It was how the owner could show how really generous he was. So let's put ourselves in the place of those workers who were hired first but paid last. They each expected to receive a denarius because that was what they agreed to accept. But when they saw the other workers who came later receiving a denarius, they started to calculate their own hours in comparison, and they were expecting to receive more. Imagine their surprise when they only received one denarius. They began to grumble against the landowner, but they had no argument because they had agreed to work for a denarius. They received what they had asked for, and they trusted in the goodness of the owner. At the start, they would have received more. The parable is entitled in most Bible translations, The Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard. But one could equally call it The Parable of the Generous Landlord. The lesson for Christ's disciples then and for us today is that we should not serve him because we want to receive an expected reward. We should not insist on what we will get. God is infinitely generous and gracious, and he will always give us more than we deserve. Now we can better understand the problem with Peter's question. It was the attitude behind it. We should not expect that we will get something if we don't deserve it. And we must trust Christ unreservedly and believe that he will always give us the best. There is also the danger of pride. What then will be there for us? Peter asked. The parable warned Peter to be aware of overconfidence when it comes to the rewards that God will give. For those first in their own eyes, and perhaps even in the eyes of others, may end up last. And there's also a danger of watching other workers and measuring yourself by them. Because Paul warns in Corinthians, judge nothing before the appointed time. Because you see, we see the worker, we see the person, but God sees what is in the heart of the person. Finally, we must beware of criticising God and feeling left out or hard done by. Had the early morning workers trusted the owner and not pushed for an agreement, the owner would have given them much more. And I wonder, are we today a bit like them? Has the world in which we live changed so much that we have learned not to trust people? Are we always sceptical in our viewpoint? Are we less generous than we used to be? The early workers could not rejoice because the others received more. Instead, they were jealous and complained. Could we ever be called begrudgers? question in God's mind is not how much do these people deserve, but rather how can I help them and how can I bring them into my kingdom. And that is God's right and God's pleasure, just as it was the landlord's right and pleasure to be generous to his help, to give them more than they deserved, to make their hearts glad. May our prayer to God be this: Lord God, who has given so much to me, give me one more thing, a grateful heart. And help me, Lord, to remember that while it is possible to give without loving, it is impossible to love without giving. Amen. And I invite you to stand with me as we affirm our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
And the collect for today. Almighty God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We join together in the morning collect. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And as we continue on in our prayers, the response to the words, Merciful God, is hear our prayer. Loving God, you are parent to us all. Bless us now with the spirit of unselfishness. Merciful God,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, you have called us to be one people. Give us grace to embrace unity, to trust in your love. Set aside our insecurities and allow your generous love to rule our hearts. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Today we pray for people facing difficulties in their communities, for victims of misunderstanding and disrespect. We pray you ask to heal wounded communities, to transform the destructive power of anger into the energy rebuild friendship and trust. Merciful God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for social workers and mediators, for those who seek to help us understand ourselves and others. We pray for teachers and for children settling into the routine of the new term. We pray for those college students going back to college, much of which is going to be online. Loving Lord, may they find happiness and friendship. Merciful God,
hear our prayer.
And we ask for your help, Lord, in facing up to our need to change. Shine your loving light into the dark places of our hearts, so that we see ourselves clearly, but kindly, as a loving mother teaches us to be gentle with ourselves, as a loving father teaches us to be honest and fair. Merciful God,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, your world is distorted by greed and envy. Save us from ourselves. Let doing your work be more important than recognition for our deeds. Help us to accept that we are not in charge, and give us grace to acknowledge our dependence. Merciful God,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we bring our own prayers to you now for ourselves and our families and our friends. We pray especially for those who are sick at this time and need our prayers. We pray especially for Sister Anne. We pray for Stuart and others known to ourselves. And we thank you for the remembrance of those who have gone before us. We remember Lily Elliott today, as her third anniversary was this week. And we remember the joy and thank God for the joy of celebration. And we remember and pray for Kim and Jeremy, who were married in this church this day last year. Fill us with a desire to put right relationships that are under strain, to value our communities and cherish the diversity within them. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who meets us face to face in love. Amen. Together, our closing hymn, Name of All Majesty, Fathomless Mystery, King of the Ages, by Angels Adored.
Easter General Vestry, be it 6 months later or so. And I would like to at least here say thank you very much to Della McSweeney, who is our outgoing warden, and David. But David has come back in as the people's warden, so familiar face. And welcome to Niall O'Shea, who has agreed to be my warden for the year. So it's lovely to have a change of faces, and it's lovely to have help every Sunday, which I very much appreciate, as do we all. So thank you and welcome. Next Sunday is our harvest, and we're going to decorate the church and hopefully have flowers and also fruit and veg. And there's a list on the notice board, because everything we bring is going to go to Penny Dinners, who very much need all the produce they can get at this time. The list has a few more items that we could help them with as well. And I know with decorating, maybe you could ask Jane how it's working this time around. And we look forward to Bishop Richard Clark coming along. And let me remind you, do come and early and take seats. We will put up the marquee outside for extras that can't be in the church. And we pray for good weather. If we had a day like today, it would be wonderful. You'll notice on the notices there's also the Christmas fair, which we will definitely do. But in the days we live, we will do it as we can do it at the time. There is a spelling or a typo there. It is Saturday, the last Saturday in November, although it may say Sunday on the sheet in front of you. So it's by way of saying we are going to do it. I think it's very important for the community, our community, but the whole community who enjoy that fair and getting together. It's like the start of Christmas. And Christmas may be very different than we have known it in the past this year. So I think it's very important that if we can, that we meet together and do something together. I think that is all the announcements, and I invite you to stand for the closing prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord. Lord, give us a way to go, a path to follow, a purpose to fulfill, and a meaning to our deeds. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and